Greg Gutfeld, otherwise known as the one, the most important one. Another fantastic guest today. Whenever I hear Ted Nugent's name, it brings me back to the mid-70s, Northern California, KSJO, K-Sand, K-Fog, Day on the Green, Bill Graham Presents, Cheap Trick, AC/DC, Ted Nugent, Pat Travers, Mahogany Rush, an entire culture of amazing music from that era. How are you, Ted Nugent?
I'm doing so good. It's stupid, Greg, and I determined a long time ago that you deserve me even without the musical connection.
You said when I was a kid, you scared me. I think it was right around Cat Scratch Fever, and it was like that was when I was. I think I was hitting a little bit beyond puberty, so that sort of stuff was like, oh my God, it's a world I didn't understand.
Well, that's because I brought Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis to life, and that scared everybody when those guys first came on the scene. I mean, everybody was scared of those guys because there was such a ferocity to the dynamic of their groove and the grind and the way they entertained and it's just the brutality of their vocals and the intensity of the music. So that's alive and well. But you figured it out shortly thereafter, didn't you? You fell in love with my soundtrack for freedom, didn't you?
Yeah, yes. And also, you know, you wore loincloth, which was kind of breaking traditions for rock and roller.
I'm the only guitar player you'll ever interview that kills his own stage clothes. I think that's special.
You know, and by the way, I like the band that you were in. You were in the Amboy Dukes, which was a great kind of psychedelic band. It was Journey to the Center of Your Mind? Is that the – that was
yeah,
the –
Yeah, we were – you know, I got to tell you, I'm a fan of killer music. I was born in the whirlwind of what Les Paul's new instrument gave us in the world of guitar, rock, and roll. So the Amboy Dukes were a direct, immediate response to what Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and everybody taught us back then. So the vitality of the garage band syndrome was really on it. It's fiery best in Detroit. And
yes,
we really paved the way. And that's because of those black heroes that had such a soulfulness to their music. All the music that you and I and everybody love has a direct link back to Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters and certainly James Brown and Wilson Pickett and Motown Funk Brothers, but that's always been the guiding force, which is why in 2017 I'm having the greatest tour of my life. Lucky me, huh?
Yeah. You know, I think you think about Detroit and what – it was the unusual bands. I mean, it wasn't just you. It was like, well, the Stooges, and you also had MC5. I remember them. Very left-wing band, if I remember. But they were from
Absolutely,
Detroit.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, but the music was so pure. And even to this day, Greg, you know, I've got people – you go to my Facebook, I have tens of millions of Facebookers, and it's a great upgrade in communication opportunities here, but it reflects exactly what I felt back in 67 when you had to use payphones to find out where the pizza place was on tour. So regardless of technology, the purity and the primal scream of the best music in the world, which is blues, rhythm and blues, and the rock and roll that it spawned, it didn't matter. And to this day, it doesn't matter politics. I just had George Lopez backstage at our Los Angeles concerts, and you can't get more left than George, and you can't get more right than Ted.
That is
and
true.
We get along like champions because the music really is a universal bridge. I love Keith Richards, and I'm a militantly anti-substance abuse guy, and he's like the repository of chemical warfare. I love everything about the guy anyhow, you know.
Okay, but you know what? All right, this is a good segue because I notice when I talk about any kind of music, I am disqualified from having an opinion because I'm conservative. So, like, I'll read Pitchfork or other things, and I like a lot of interesting new bands. And these guys will tell me that they can't do – some of them will do my show. Some of them won't because they go, dude, if I do your show, I'm branded forever. And so politics actually trumps musical taste. If they find out that you were actually on Red Eye – you know, they go, oh, you went on Fox News? I can't be your friend anymore. There is a problem where ideology, and I think it started with leftism, trumps everything else.
Well, Greg, you know, I know you're in the whirlwind of media and surrounded by the fake news numbnuts out there, but let Uncle Ted clarify that for you from the trenches of working hard, playing hard America. Only the left is afraid of stigmatization. Mm-hmm. They will avoid you, but I will go on Bill Maher. I've been on Bill Maher's show 16 times back with Politically Incorrect. And
right.
He had a nice thing to say about my vow and my battle cry. Well, can I use the word battle?
Yeah.
Battle cry to be more civil in our discourse and vow to never allow harm or violence to any other American, regardless of opposing political views. So the domain of wimpiness and soullessness and spinelessness and cowardliness, that's simply on the left. I'm not afraid to go on anybody's show. In fact, I could do great deeds for the left, as I did with Piers Morgan, and rearrange his psyche so he's no longer a liberal dirtbag.
Well, you know what? Okay. This is you just talked about the Bill Maher thing. When I first contacted you, it was around the time of the Johnny Depp, Kathy Griffin stuff, and everybody kept using the "what about Ted" argument. It's like you'd go like, "I can't believe Johnny Depp said that," or "Kathy Griffin cut off Trump's head" and all that. And they go, "Well, wait a minute, what about Ted?" And so the reason why I wanted you to come on is I wanted you to answer the "what about Ted Nugent" argument, like that what you said is just as bad as what they said. But because you text me during the five and you go, "That's not true," when we get into the argument while Juan's talking, you go, "That's not true." So I want you to clarify, when somebody says, "Well, wait a minute, Ted Nugent did that, why are we mad now?" What would you say?
Well, I'm glad that you're there to accept the truth, because what Juan Williams is standing by and what everybody referencing my statements is doing is just parroting the fake news embarrassment. I never threatened anyone. Even the Secret Service determined that. I was afraid of my government. I wasn't threatening anyone in my government. How about the fake news that I shot an effigy of Barack Obama
right
on stage? Greg, it never happened.
Yeah.
All this nasty stuff about Ted Nugent threatening lives and encouraging violence and threatening Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, come on, it's all a dirty lie. And the dirty lie statement, unfortunately and tragically, covers the whole liberal media world with their fake news addiction. They got nothing, so they have to lie. I have threatened no one, ever.
Let me ask you this. Do you regret any of this stuff? Because you said you actually agree that maybe we should all tone down, but it's by choice. Do you regret anything since you've said about Obama or Hillary?
Not at all. In fact, let's clarify one thing. They keep referencing, well, he said he should have them suck on his machine gun. Greg, if they would have proposed a new tax on Buicks, I would have told him to suck on my Buick. It was a metaphor, for God's sake. It was my response to an attempt to further violate their oath to the Constitution and infringe on our Second Amendment rights and ban all kinds of firearms that would accomplish nothing, like, you know, how they banned AK-47s in Paris. Boy, that worked out real well, didn't it?
My point is
that if you've been dumbed down, if you've gone to American colleges and institutions of counterproductive learning, then you're dumb enough to believe the fake news of the left and not get a clever Ted Nugent / Sam Kinison, Lenny Bruce, Richard Pryor, or George Carlin metaphor that when they attempt to ban guns, I tell them to suck on my machine gun. Greg, I defy you, and you're a gregarious journalistic hero of mine. You can't find a human being who could look into a camera and say, "Yeah, I think Ted really wanted someone's lips on his machine gun. That's what he meant." You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah,
I mean, how stupid can you get?
It's actually, when you look at it, if you replaced it with, like, let's say it was vegetarians saying that they want to ban your meat, and you would say, "Yeah, it would be a bologna sandwich."
Yeah, it's on my tenderloin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Come on. I'm a street guy. When did we lose touch with the street thing? Like, what you brought up was, by the way, Greg, I got to tell you, I'm on the road. Tomorrow night, I'm doing my 6,589th concert. Yes, I went back and counted the sock hops in 1956. I've counted them all, and that includes meetings with working hard, playing hard Americans, the heart and soul that drives the quality of life engine of America. And on behalf of those people that I meet with every night, they have told me to tell you, thank you. Thank you for representing self-evident truth and logic and common sense and smart-ass metaphor fun. Nobody thinks that Donald Trump was causing violence when he was replicating a fake wrestling match with a guy with a CNN block on his head. I mean, Greg, how insane can people get? So, Greg, thank you for representing us when you're on the television, when you do your podcast, because you're a down-to-earth guy that knows the difference between someone burning down a building mm-hmm. and someone saying, suck on my machine gun.
You know, I wanted to bring up that, did you note, I don't know if you're following this story, but CNN tracked down the guy on Reddit who made that little video, and the guy apologized. And so, and then CNN posts this thing on Twitter saying, you know, we're not going to name this person for his safety, you know, as long, but in the gist is, as long as he behaves. Like, if he can, it was just the weirdest thing to see.
That's
a network.
Blackmail. That's journalistic blackmail.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy, and I got to tell you, the guy shouldn't have apologized. Who thinks that even real wrestling isn't fake? I mean, it's all entertainment. Who would think that a silly cartoon, let's just talk about cartoons.
Yeah.
Do you really think the Roadrunner wanted to kill the coyote really wanted to kill that Roadrunner? I mean, come on, Roadrunners can outrun coyotes. I live with coyotes and Roadrunners. There's no problem there. Everybody write this down. It was a cartoon. And when Trump was beating up the blockheaded CNN guy, here's an alert for everybody. It was a cartoon, you doorknobs.
Yeah, it's true.
When you represented that on The Five the other night, it's like the whole America with brains and heart and soul and a sense of comedy went, tell them, Greg, you got to be kidding me.
You know what? The lesson from this video is like, I have this theory called the, did you ever see Animal House, the movie?
I did, yeah. In fact, John Belushi was a friend of mine, yeah.
You know, I have this, I call it the Dean Wormer theory, which is, he was the principal, the dean. Once you get the left to become shrill and humorless like Dean Wormer, you win. Because remember, people on the right were always portrayed as the conservative, humorless, no fun person. And now what's happening is you're watching them become the humorless, shrill, they're like the hall monitors, the tattletales.
That means something like this. Let's say I was really shrill and I missed the whole point, and I became so corrupt and power abusing that I would actually be on the House of the Congressional, the floor of Congress, and say something as insane and anti-American as, you don't need to read it, you need to sign it to find out what's in it, and your little doggy too.
Oh, God. That was quite a voice.
I can hark. I'm on tour right now, so I can do any kind of voice. I do James Brown and Wilson Pickett every night, man. I'm like gifted. I'm like touched by the hand of God.
Who did you, when you were, did you ever play with Hendrix at all?
Greg, a moment of silence. You know, I know you think you know why I'm like this, because I'm effervescent and I'm alive and I've been clean and sober for 69 years and I've been jamming with the greatest musicians. But Greg, mm-hmm. I played bass for Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley. Greg, I jammed with Jimi Hendrix and Johnny Winter and Edgar Winter and Stevie Ray Vaughan and Billy Gibbons, and I've jammed with Heart and Cheap Trick and Aerosmith and The Who. I mean, are you kidding me? That's why I'm like this. I've been to the musical mountaintops. I've been right there in the belly of the supreme musical beast, and I'm a lucky, lucky guitar player, man.
Is there anybody you couldn't stand to play with? I always have to ask questions like that.
No, not really, because I love it all, from, you know, John Coltrane to the Ramones. Boy, yeah. That covers everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
And so I love all that kind of stuff. I have my preferences, and it usually includes everything James Brown and all the black soul monsters, you know, but I love all music, man. I love noise. In fact, people ask me what I'm inspired by, and I say everything from Short Skirts to Train Wrecks.
There you go. I always think of that era of metal. I think it was like, because I really do think that you kind of like, you were one of the people that created a commercial version of metal that was like, now it was FM radio, and then that paved the way for almost everything in the 80s, I would think, anyway, from Van Halen on.
You know, I keep looking to the heavens, thanking God I was born in 1948, because, you know, never forget that Les Paul had just electrified the guitar just a couple of years before I was born. And, of course, immediately Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley and The Ventures and Duane Eddy and Lonnie Mack, these guys perfected it immediately. So I was in the whirlwind of this new outrageous and most manifested by, you know, Little Richard. Are you kidding me? You want to talk punk rock? Nobody's even close to Little Richard. Mm-hmm. So I was in this vortex of musical outrage and the soulfulness of the rhythm and blues and the gospel that all of a sudden became electric. electrified and really kicked up the ass by the Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis and Chuck and Bo, and then the Stones and the Beatles and the Kinks and the Who heard all that American black music, and then they were so moved by it, who isn't? And they put out their first albums. The first British wave had Motown songs on mm-hmm. their record, Stones and Beatles, Who, Yardbirds, Motown, Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley music, all that Little Richard songs. So I was right there, man. I opened up my band, the Lords, in 1963 in Detroit. We won the Michigan Battle of the Bands, and there was young Ted mm-hmm. on stage opening for the Supremes with the Gods of Thunder, the Motown Funk Brothers, right next to me. So that intensity has never left me, and I'm 69 years old this year, and my band, my Detroit drummer, Jason Heartless, and Greg Smith on bass, I live a guitar player's dream.
Well, it's all that clean living, Ted. It's all the clean living.
Venison is good for the body, mind, heart, spirit, and the soul, especially the shopping system is the most fun of all.
Can you tell people right now, before we go, where they can catch you, where you're going to be on tour, where they
If you go to jerrygarcia.net, my entire tour is there. It's at tednugent.com, actually. A guy asked me last week, what's your website? And I said, tompetty.org. But anyhow, we're on tour all summer. Greatest tour of my life, the greatest audiences, the greatest songs, the greatest guitar tone. God, I'm stoned on Gibson Birdland Sonic Bombast. What an outrage every night. So yeah, thank you, America, for keeping my musical dreams alive, and thank you for throttling the band every night. Greg, we're coming to BB King's, I think, August 8th.
I'll be there.
Witness this band. This band is so good, it's stupid.
That's walking distance from my office. I get off.
All right, come, man. We'll rock and roll. Bring your dancing shoes and wear your Kevlar pantyhose.
How did you know I owned them?
I know you. I know you, Gutfeld.
All right,
anybody
Ted.
With the name Gut in his name, I'm telling you.
It framed my life. It's ironic that I always have heartburn and indigestion. It's my punishment.
I never do. I let it all out through my fiery barbecue-tipped fingers.
All right, Ted. Always a pleasure.
Get back at you. Tell everybody there at the Five Guys, God bless them all. They really represent common sense, and it's so refreshing. Thanks for all you do, Greg.
You got it. Keep texting me during the show when you get upset.
I will. I'll drive them nuts. Godspeed.
Take care, buddy.